Absolute Rally with Tony Simpson, Ryan Champion and Jack Bennion.
Hello everyone, welcome to Absolute Rally, Episode 3, Season 10. And what a week it's been. Apart from dirty nappies, dirty protests and everything else, there's been pre-event tests, there's been stuff going on. We've had lots of nice feedback in regards to the Chris Meek piece we did last week. Of course, Chris technically replaced the man on my left, which is Jack Bennion. Hello, Jack Bennion.
Hello, Tony Simpson.
We don't have a man on our right. He's joining us a little bit later in the programme, because like Jack Bennion, Ryan is also a media lovey, and he is heading towards Chester literally as we speak to perform tasks at Rally Forum a little bit later on. But anyway, you're not interested in what we're doing. Were you interested in what's coming up, of course, which is Wales Rally GB? And Jack Bennion, are you excited?
I'm very excited. I've been down to the service park today to collect all my tabards and all that kind of stuff. But it was there's a real sort of, I don't really know how to describe it, a definitive vibe in the service park that something exciting is about to happen, and a little bit different to last year even. So I don't know whether it's just the 2017 cars or whether it's the level of competition we've got in some of the classes this year, but there was just something that you couldn't quite put your finger on, but just felt a little bit sort of exciting as you walked into the service park today.
Do you feel there's something, you know, really, really special could happen this weekend, of course. And what I'm referring to is M Sport securing, the manufacturer's titling. You know, if things go certain ways mathematically, also Seb could also secure the drivers.
That's right, yeah. This M Sport need 4 points to seal the manufacturer's championship, and I don't think we can underestimate how big an achievement that would be for an operation like M Sport. I don't really agree and don't think it's fair to call them a privateer. They do have some input from Ford, but you know, they are a proper sort of we all know Malcolm Wilson and how much work he's put into building that team up, and even the risks he's taken to kind of pay Ogier's wages for this year. So it's a big gamble by them, and it looks like hopefully it's going to pay off for them at their home rally, which is going to be a bit of a fairy tale, and I think one that people who are sort of attending the event and spectating will remember for a long time. And then as for Ogier, obviously that gamble looks like that's set to pay off as well. To win the championship, if he wins the rally, he wins the championship. If he finishes second on the rally and wins the power stage, he wins the championship. And if he finishes ahead of Tanak or Nerville, no matter where they finish, he will win the championship. So, it looks like it could be sealed here as well.
Very, very exciting. It would be unfair of me, and I'm not doing one of these typical things, but I've heard on reasonably good authority today that Seb is remaining at M Sport next year.
We ran the piece not so long ago in MN, didn't we, that it looked set that Ogier was going to stick with M Sport. I think it's a difficult one looking elsewhere, isn't it? You know, Hyundai have committed to Andreas Mikkelsen. Citroën have committed to Chris Meek. But they were also looking to try and pull Ogier away from M Sport, weren't they? So I think Citroën was his only real sort of likely destination for next year other than M Sport. But what they've done this year with Sebastian is something that's quite special. And you'll see some of the quotes in MN this week where Sebastian refers to how much he's enjoyed working with Malcolm and the smaller team, if you like, with him working for Volkswagen for so long. Massive works operation that have put a fair few millions into their programme. So Ogier's really enjoyed that kind of homely atmosphere that he's had when he's been at Dovenby and when he's been on the rallies with the team. Obviously, they've got work to do. There's been various rallies where they've not quite been on the pace, or they've had a couple of little reliability glitches. But you know, I think it's good that Seb's going to stay there and really try and push that team forward for next year.
I think so. We had Chris on last week, of course, and we always think about the home drivers. Obviously, you guys have run some bits and pieces about both Chris and with Elvin in today's edition. Are we being selfish looking for Chris or Elvin searching for a result on GB?
Well, you could tell me, what do you know, Jack Bennion? But if I know anything, I think it's that Chris Meek or Elvin Evans are not going to win the event this weekend, unfortunately. I think the event's going to be way too dry for the DMAT tyre to really gain an advantage. So I think Elvin's going to struggle unless we get some sort of mythical Wales Rally GB rain, which is not unheard of, to be fair, but it is usually forecast, so we do usually know it's coming, but there doesn't seem to be any signs of that. And Chris Meek's pre-Rally GB test was done in France, so that's not the ideal warm-up, really, when you're looking at this specificity of this event, I guess. So it's going to be difficult for those two to really come out of their respective situations. Obviously, Meek with the car maybe not working so well on this kind of event as well, looking at some of the events we've seen earlier in the year as well. So I think it's going to be difficult for those two. But if you are a home favourite, you know, you are rooting for something British, then get behind M Sport and what they're about to achieve, because that's, you know, we're probably going to see a British rally winner in the future on Rally GB. But the next time we see a proper British mark like M Sport winning a Constructors Championship, you know, that might not happen for a long time. Maybe it'll happen next year, but we don't know.
Yeah, it's not all to play for, is it? It's kind of one of those cliches, but it's kind of, well, you just can't see it going any other way, can you? You know, with 4 points, I love the fact, by the way, that you could just roll off the driver's permutations of what needs to happen, Jack. that made me feel proud. It gave me a warm glow, that, Jack.
I'm not even covering that championship this year either.
No.
I'm going to be looking after WRC2 and all the national rally, and obviously David Evans will be there to look after the 2017 cars. So it's not even my section of the event to cover, but you know, I'm still read up and still make sure.
But you're thorough.
Just to add to the whole M Sport thing, there we were talking about, we don't know what's going to happen next year. We've got another great feature in MN this week. Sorry to plug away at the
go.
But a feature on Colin McRae and his last rally GB, which is in 1997. Now, if we would have been recording Absolute Rally in 1997, which would have been amazing, by the way, and said this is going to be Colin McRae's last Rally GB win, you know, you'd have laughed me off the podcast, because he was so dominant at that point, and there was so much sort of momentum behind Colin and his sort of aura that he had around him at that point. And you know, he never won a GB after that, so you can never be sure what's going to happen in rallying in the future, and you know, we might just be witnessing something special from M Sport. Hopefully that's not the case. You know, being a Brit, we want to see them, you know, continue to prosper, but you never know what's going to happen.
Absolutely. A couple of things. I suppose I always feel like our overseas listeners, we do get a little bit parochial. We do get very parochial, and I do apologize. I always apologize for this. We always get wax lyrical, and we always get a little bit giddy. And I do about GB stages, and I know, Jack Benyon, you're very similar to me. You get very, very excited about Rails Rally GB, no matter when it is, whether it's in the north, whether it's been in the south. It seems to be in quite a nice place at the moment with regards to location and things like that. But some of the stages, we've had John Bennett Evans on as a guest of Absolute Rally only a couple of weeks back. Well, no, a couple of months back now, forgive me. But Sweet Lamb is one that there is something genuinely so exciting about Sweet Lamb. And please, and I know you're rally fans who listen anyway, and please, if you've never been there, if you've never, just watch some footage. Just go on YouTube, put Sweet Lamb in, Rally GB or whatever it is, and just watch some footage. And I hope you get the hairs on the back of the neck feeling that I've got now, and I think Jack Benyon has as well. How about you, Jack?
Definitely, it's the best of both worlds. That stage, you could probably define it as a spectator stage. But when you or me say spectator stage, people instantly think like a super special or something done around a stately home or something like that. But Sweet Lamb's got that fantastic duo of having a brilliant spectator area, but it's also got proper action, and you see the cars either coming down the hill or coming up and going up the hill, whichever way it's run. Obviously, it's going up the hill this year, as it did last year. But that, you know, there's something just really special about the fact that it is a spectator stage and we get so many spectators in there. But it's also a proper test for the drivers, and they actually enjoy driving through it as well. They're not going to complain at the end that they've had to drive 200 miles to get to this stage and drive around in a circle for 2 minutes and then they're done for the night. You know, this is a proper stage, and you know, it's the same for the Shakedown as well. It's one of the only rallies on the calendar that actually has part of a proper stage involved in the Shakedown. So a lot of people have been asking me, where do I go? What day do I go out? You know, where do I spectate and stuff like that? Shakedown's a fantastic place to go at Clockynog. You've got a couple of really quick corners that lead up to the spectator area where you park. And then you've got the famous Penn Macno hairpin where there's a lot of pictures from. And that's a great place to go and see these 2017 cars to watch as well.
It's this is the second year I've not done the rally. I haven't done it kind of 3 years on the bounce as well. And that's, to me, it was so imperative, even when I was doing it, to kind of do the Shakedown stage, which was part of the stage, made me feel a lot more settled than everything else. And I'm sure, you know, the superstars that we're talking about here automatically feel settled anyway. But no, as I say, it is good to go and visit one of the stages, because I must admit, I've done rallies in the past where the Shakedown stage hasn't really represented what we were going to do. But in Wales, especially in North Wales, that's very, very difficult to actually happen. Now, I'll be honest with you, it always links really, really well, Sweet Lamb. It always links into Hafren. And Hafren, again, I think is one of my favourites. It is absolutely one of my favourites. I've absolutely, not to put too fine a point on it, cacked myself when I lost my brakes in there twice a couple of years ago. But it's a very, very quick stage, up past the windmills as well, over the top and everything else. And again, it's one of those stages which is fantastic because you've got, it's really open, Jack, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can see a hell of a lot. So very fast sweeping bends, but as a specky, I doff my cap if you walk all the way up there, but you are always rewarded when you go up there, aren't you?
Absolutely. And that's one of Chris Meek's favourite stages, I think, from memory. Hafren is one he always talks about. And I think the thing that the drivers always talk about in there is the grip changes. You've got different kinds of surface all through that stage, and it really sort of tests the driver's ability to read the surface and kind of react to what's going on with that as well. So that's always good. And as well, this year it's been running in its proper full length format, which is always nice. I think it's a little bit slower than Meherrin overall, but I think it's a bit more of a testing stage than Meherrin. But Meherrin will be good because Elvin's Corner is going to be there this year, which I'm going to go down and check out. I think, I don't know if you've read much about that.
We've mentioned it and we've put stuff out on Twitter and stuff like that. So please get a picture, Jack. Get something from there. Get a selfie.
Stuff while I'm down there. So we'll see what we can do, and maybe we can record something down there with some of the guys. And I know Peter Jones will be down there, one of the guys who sort of came up with the idea. So maybe we can speak to him while we're down there as well.
This is Absolute Rally, Pace Notes Rally Magazine, Britain and Ireland's only dedicated rally publication. Rally news, interviews, features and reports from Clubman rallies to the WRC. Available from all good news agents or subscribe at rallymag.com. Pace Notes Rally Magazine, your number one monthly rally read. This is the Absolute Rally Podcast.
Now, I've got to be honest with you, hand on heart, we've just been talking about Sweet Lamb, of course, being a special stage, and we do refer to it, of course, as a spectator stage. It's not really, but there is a spectator stage, and these are one of the ones where you can be made to look very, very silly, and you can effectively lose yourself a hell of a lot of time. Now, there's this one that is the Visit Conway stage, which is the Tier Prince, which is in Towan, where I used to go on holiday. There you go. But it's a very, I don't know if you've seen anything at this stage at all, Jack, or whatever, but I think it's kind of pony track type thing where they do like buggy racing and things like that.
Yeah, it looks interesting. I'm very much looking forward to seeing how they go through there. There's a jump and somewhere to do a donut, so those two things usually link up to be quite spectacular, don't they? But the actual length of the venue, I'm not convinced whether they'll actually get, you know, how long the stage is going to be or that kind of thing. But it's one of them things we're just going to have to watch and kind of find out what it actually looks like, just to see how it all sort of fits in. But yeah, you're right, it's a trotting track and not really built for, you know, a proper flat out rally stage, so it'll be interesting to see how they kind of combine all that together.
Now I like talking about the stages and everything else. It's a shame Ryan isn't with us yet. He's going to be with us a little bit later on. There's one particular stage which Dovenant is where Irish Corner was. Now Dovenant in the dark was interesting. It's not going to be in the dark this year, I don't think, looking at the schedule. But Dovenant was always a little bit of a favourite of mine as well, even though it was always one that bit me on the bum. Now the Brennig, that was the power stage a couple of years ago, Jack, and again that was a very, very tough stage. Goes right along, it's very twisty and gnarly, and then you're along the lake, and you don't want to get it wrong there. I seem to remember Mika Hirvonen having a massive moment going through the flying finish there when it was a power stage.
Yeah, that's right. We've had quite a lot of drama through Brennig, haven't we? It's going to be the power stage again this year as well, so it should be interesting to see how that works. But they've kind of redone a fair bit of that stage this year, so it'll obviously resemble the Brennig stage that's run previously, but it looks like they've made quite a few changes to how that runs, so it's going to be interesting to see how that one goes. But that's, Brennig's always been a good way to end the rally, I think. It's always been in a stage that has seemed to cause a little bit of upset and a little bit of drama, so that's always what you want to finish a rally like this on, isn't it?
Absolutely. Now, it's the obvious question. Do we see Seb pushing to try and get this win, to try and get in front of Oit? Do we see Oit trying to get a result? Do we see somebody coming in completely left field? You've made reference, of course, to Citroën not quite preparing the way the other teams have, of course, on kind of roads that are similar, at least by testing in France. But where do we three the threat to M Sport securing both these titles.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? I think the interesting one for me is Toyota, because obviously they went really well in Finland, and this rally is quite a bit different. But the surfaces, there are little bits that are similar to Finland in certain ways, and the Toyota was dominant there. So it's going to be interesting to see whether the rally is just a little bit too different for Toyota to stay on the pace, or whether it'll be similar to Finland and they'll be on the pace. So they'll be the interesting ones. And Jari Matti's obviously won two times before here at GB, so he'll be definitely one to watch. Lappi won WRC2 last year as well, so, and that was on his first appearance in GB as well. So those two will be interesting to watch, I think, in terms of whether they can get on the pace. In terms of Ogier, I think he'll do the same as he's done all year, and he'll sort of manage the pace on the first day to see where everyone's at, and he'll drive as fast as he possibly can in the safest possible way, and that's what he's done all year, and that's what's earned him so many points. He's very I wouldn't say he's cautious on the first day, but he always leaves a little bit in the tank, doesn't he, and just leaves that sort of that little gear that he can take up to really push on if he needs to. And we've seen he's not had to use that much this year because people have fallen away, or his actual sort of the pace he started the rally on has been enough to guarantee him what he's looking after. So I think he'd like to stay ahead of Tanak and Nerville and get the championship wrapped up here, but I don't think Sebastian will be breaking his neck to try and beat those two if he doesn't think it's possible. He's very sensible and will drive the rally that he's capable of.
Now, were you shocked? Of course, we didn't have you with us last week. We had Chris Meek. Sorry, Jack. We had your replacement. I know. Well, we couldn't get you, but we could get Chris Meek.
Well, that's what can I say about that? Chris is
we didn't get your take, of course, and your unique take as ever. With regards to the news about Oit, we've just been talking about him. Potentially, obviously, we've still got one more round of WRC to go, but obviously his last GB, certainly for the foreseeable future in an M Sport car, which we always just think of him driving M Sport cars, even all the way back in his early career, in Super 2 cars and things like that. Were you surprised that it was Oit that made the move?
No, I think I think Tommy's made his feelings about Oit known for quite a while now, hasn't he? And it's been clear that there's been something going on there in terms of Tommy trying to attract Oit away. Not a huge surprise, I don't think. I think it's a loss for M Sport, because I think Oit's really thrown himself into the ring as a championship contender this year and done what most drivers, well, the real drivers that you need to see step up to that championship contending level. Oit's done everything that you need to do. He's had a bit of adversity and bounced back from it. He's adapted his driving to tarmac when he's always been comfortable on the gravel, but it's always a case of bringing your pace up on the surface you're not quite fond of as much, and he's done that. So for me this year, and look at the events he's won this year, the diversity of the events he's won. So Germany and Sardinia, you can't really get much different than those two events, really. So for me, it's a good move for Oit. He's gonna switch things up, and maybe that's gonna help him even find another gear now towards next year. For M Sport, not sure it's a great thing, but it just depends who replaces him now. And there's already been rumours about that, hasn't there? But for me, I think Elvin's done enough this year to prove that he's ready for another shot in the works team. So for me, he'd be an obvious candidate for a replacement. And then there's also Teemu Suninen and people like that in WRC2 are waiting in the wings. So it'll be interesting to see what M Sport do.
Now, speaking about WRC2, of course, this is first event for Cali Rovanpera in an M Sport car. Well, certainly in WRC. Obviously, I think he did the RC round in an M Sport run car a couple of weeks ago now in Latvia. WRC2, we've got some interesting runners and riders again there, haven't we? Of course, we've got Tom Cave coming back out, back in a Fiesta, having had some some mega results in the Hyundai R5. It's definitely as equally as exciting to look at, because there's so many potential winners.
There's so many possible winners on that WRC2 entry list. It's absolutely brilliant to look at. I mean, I'm tempering my expectations of Cali a little bit. I'm not sure if he's going to be bang on the pace straight away, but you never know with Cali. He's clearly a bit of a I don't want to call him a freak of nature, because that sounds nasty towards Cali, but you know what I'm saying. He's a break from the mold, isn't he, in that sense? And he'll be very interesting to watch. The thing interesting about Cali that I think maybe some people won't know is that he uses descriptive pace notes. So if we get some of that GB fog dropping down over the stages over the course of the weekend, then he might just be a little dark horse to put a few good stage times in when that fog descends and those descriptive pace notes come off. So that'll be interesting to see if that's something that gives him a bit of a boost. But for me, the battle's definitely between Ponsa Tiedemann, the 2017 WRC2 champion. Drove a great rally last year. Didn't quite have the pace to contend with Ezepeka Lappi, even though it was Lappi's first time at GB. But instead of breaking his neck trying to or breaking the car trying to catch Lappi, he just settled in and put some good times in, saw off the competition and sort of established that second place. So for me, that's the kind of drive that has won in the championship this year and the kind of drive that we'll see him contend here again this year. And then we've got Teemu Suninen, who's won here before in a Skoda S2000 in 2015. Had some trouble with his Skoda last year. He upgraded to a Fabia R5 last year, but had a few problems with that last year, so that sort of ruled him out of contending for the win. But he'll be very tough to beat in a Fiesta this year after his a bit of a breakthrough year, hasn't he, in the M-Sport team.
This is the Absolute Rally Podcast. Click motorsportauctions.com. Now, one of the world's leading motorsport online classified adverts and auction sites. It's easy to use, providing listing platforms that enable you to sell race and rally cars, surplus parts, transporters, clothing, workshop and pit equipment. We specialise in cataloguing, listing and selling large quantities of motorsport-related surplus and obsolete stock. Click motorsportauctions.com. This is Absolute Rally.
And we've just been talking about Teemu Suninen. Now, before we got any further with Teemu Suninen, I thought it was a good point to actually get Ryan Champion to come in and earn his corn because, you know, he's a man about town. He's a man in demand. He's currently winging his way to Rally Forum. But me and Jack have just been going on. We've been previewing WRC2 and we're talking about Teemu Suninen. Ryan Champion, welcome to this week's programme.
Hello, good to be here eventually.
I hope you've got a note. But Jack's just been telling us all about Teemu Suninen. Jack, just going back to that with regards to the other runners and riders in WRC2, just take us through them.
We've got Jari Huttunen as well, who's an interesting one to watch. We talked a little bit about him a few times, haven't we, over the past couple of months. Won WRC2 in Finland. Just won a prize to drive a Hyundai full-time next year for the manufacturer team in R5 and WRC2. So he's going to be an interesting one to watch. And if his debut in Finland was anything to go by, he's pretty quick on gravel, so he'll definitely be one to watch. And a little dark horse to me is, I know you always take the mick out of me for this one, Tony, Ole Christian Baby.
You love him. You want to be with him.
he's a cool dude. Anyway, he's driving with a factory Skoda team this weekend instead of anything sort of privately run. And obviously the son of Eric Baby from Even Management, who looks after sort of Andreas Mikkelsen and people like that. So he's quite well connected. But he won in Poland, so he's got a bit of a breakthrough WRC2 win behind him now, Ole. And he'll be he was very quick here last year, just couldn't quite sort of piece the whole event together as a whole. Some very quick times, but it was a bit inconsistent, whereas I think this year he'll have a bit more experience and he'll be able to fight as well.
Right, you're a man with your finger on the pulse all the time, whereas unlike me, who hasn't had his finger on the pulse, Jack and I have just been going through the runners and riders of WRC2. We've also, of course, spoke about WRC and what M-Sport need to do. Is there anything coming from a background that you've come from that would M-Sport change anything at this point? Would Malcolm be given somebody, would Seb be getting another brand new car? What would be going on leading up to this where ultimately this event could bring everything they've ever wanted?
Yeah, I'm not sure they'll change the focus at all. I mean, obviously, what they're doing is working well. They've been competitive every rally as a team, and I'm sure they're looking forward to World's Rally GB as the home rally and probably the best prepared for World's Rally GB than any rally. I mean, M-Sport has its own gravel test complex. They know the Welsh Forest very well. They have a good baseline for information on cars in this country. So, no, I think it'll be business as usual. M-Sport, they'll be busy just preparing the best car that they can. And ultimately, the championship's so close for them that they don't really need to change anything because they can just concentrate on winning this rally. And if they get anywhere close to winning this rally, then they win the Manufacturers' Championship. And what a way to do it, a private team winning the Manufacturers' Championship at home.
Oh, now Ryan Champion, you've possibly just poked the bear now with Jack Benyon calling M-Sport a private team. Jack Benyon doesn't like them being called a private team, Ryan Champion.
Well, they don't make the manufacturer's page on the WRC website, I'm
Jack Bengen. Jack Bengen, but by all means, feel free to retort to Ryan Champion.
It's a bit of a chicken and the egg situation. There's not really a correct answer to whether M Sports are a manufacturer or not. But, you know, for me, to call them a privateer team, that isn't, you know, M Sports not what I define as a, you know, a privateer operation. You know, they do get help from Ford. And it's, you know, it's a lot like Kronos in 2006, isn't it, with the Citroen. They were getting a bit of help from Citroen to run that Zara. Obviously, the difference being that Citroen built the car originally and M Sport have built that Fiesta originally. So they're probably more of a privateer team than the Kronos was. But yeah, it's not, you know, you've not poked a bear, Tony. I'm not getting upset about it. I just think it's interesting to call M Sport a privateer team.
Yeah, sure, and
it's quite right.
No, I know what you're saying, Jack, but ultimately they're not entered by a manufacturer and they're doing it on a fraction of the budget of the team they're competing against. So, you know, regardless of the status of the team, it's fantastic to see such a performance this year.
That we can agree on.
Yeah, that we can all agree on. Right, Jack and I, or rather I've got Jack's perception on how he perhaps sees things going in WRC. We're going to talk about WRC 2 in a second, but... How do you see the main event playing out?
I think it's a difficult one to predict, quite honestly. I mean, we've seen such an open season that, it, you know, we've just talked about M Sport. I think M Sport will be very well prepared. Auger, I think, will be keen to win the rally still. But, you know, as a result of that, I mean, I think Auger will still push for the victory to begin with, but as we've seen all year with Auger will do the maximum he can, but no more. So if Auger's in with a shout of winning, he'll push for the win. But Tanak will be very, very quick, I think, throughout the rally. Thierry Neuville's now got nothing to lose, and we've seen the speed of Thierry this year. So I think he will throw everything at it. I think Tanak will be very, very quick. The Toyotas, you know, the Toyotas we sort of have to see on each rally, don't we? But I think Matt Barney will certainly be in the mix as well. And then there's a question mark with Citroen, isn't there? And as we talked to Chris last week, even Chris doesn't know if he's going to be in the mix or not. So it's you know, it's looking drier than normal. I mean, I'm in the area now, and it's 13 degrees. It could be a relatively dry rally, and if it is, I think that'll only help Chris, because as we know, his preparation wasn't perfect by testing in warmer than ideal conditions. But I think it's a really open one. I think that's what's brilliant. We're going to see a massive fight for the Wales Rally GB title, and you know, and hopefully it's, the manufacturers comes M Sports way at the end of the rally.
Absolutely. I was going to say Ryan Champion. I was going to say Jack Bengen. Jack Bengen, we've got other runners and riders, of course. We've got our European champion bringing his factory Opel to Rally GB, looking to I suppose, to leave the team on a high.
Yeah. Chris Ingram's going to be here and wanting to finish off his year in the best possible way with a win on his home event. He's won his class on this. He's won the R2 class on this event before, so it'll be interesting to see where his sort of challenge comes from, really, because it's not the deepest of classes in terms of R2s. There's a couple in WRC3, but they've been off the pace of the JWRC runners through the year, so I don't think they'll be sort of on Chris's pace, to be honest. So it's going to be interesting. One outsider, I guess you could say, is William Crichton from the Motorsport News Prestone Junior British Rally Championship. See, we're just full of MM plugs today. It's brilliant. I love this. Can we keep this going? This is great. He finished second in that championship this year, so he'll be a little bit of a dark horse, but also only just started writing his own notes, and this event might just be a little bit too much of a stretch for him in terms of so early in his career to be challenging someone as experienced as Chris, who obviously did the event last year in the same car. So the R2 class is going to be interesting to see how that plays out, but I can't see that going anywhere else other than to Chris, unless Chris has problems.
This is Absolute Rally, Pace Notes Rally Magazine, Britain and Ireland's only dedicated rally publication. Rally news, interviews, features and reports from Clubman rallies to the WRC. Available from all good newsagents or subscribe at rallymag.com. Pace Notes Rally Magazine, your number one monthly rally read. This is the Absolute Rally Podcast.
Right, do you still get a little bit giddy this time of year? Do you still get a little bit? Do you get the itching? Do you get the feet and the hands start wanting to be in rally car again? Is that? Do you still get that feeling?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's it's our World Championship rally, isn't it? This is the RAC rally, the Network Q rally, YGB, whatever you want to call it. It's the rally round of the World Championship, and certainly it was a fantastic event to be part of. But, you know, even Jack, in your capacity, there's such excitement around the rally, and it's a great rally to be at. You know, we've got some of the most passionate and knowledgeable spectators in the world. They stand out regardless of the weather. You know, I'm sure they'll be hoping for Chris Meek win, but it's going to be so competitive. But yeah, absolutely, it's such a real buzz of excitement around this rally anyway, and I think particularly this year when we're seeing the new cars for the first time in this country in competition, I should say.
I was just about to say, there's two things I'm going to come back to you in a second, right? I'm going to get your opinion on this, Jack. Jack, does it matter what time of year it is to you?
As long as it's kind of this sort of October, November, sort of that kind of pit. Like if it was in March, for example, that'd be wrong. It's got to be this end of the year. But in terms of which weekend in October it is, I don't really mind, to be honest. I'd like it if it was a little bit later or a little bit earlier for selfish purposes for my birthday planning. But apart from that, you know, I've not really got too much sort of input into that. Just as long as it's October or November, maybe. I think December would be a little bit late for it, to be honest. Those 2 months are kind of perfect for GB, I think.
Right. How about you? I suppose we're all traditionalists. You know, November to me was always, because it was my birthday in November, and my part of my birthday was going to watch the rally. So it doesn't bother me that much now, but definitely the dark, cold, wet stages, are something a little bit unique about Rally GB, but we could of course have them this weekend, albeit as you said before, it is slightly warmer.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, if we're talking traditional, then you know, wherever it's third week in November was traditional, and it often is snow that weekend just by magic. But it is a little bit early now. I think it's always great when we see Wales Rally GB. I think it's the last round of the championship, the first to finish off the championship as it traditionally has. We're not doing that this year, but in some ways, I think running it slightly earlier. Fog and the rain is a real feature of Rally GB, but at the same time, it's nice to maybe not have that every year. At least if the weather's a bit more pleasant, shall we say, it might get a few more casual spectators out into the forest to cheer on the best drivers in the world.
Absolutely right, boys. We've come to at the end of our micro Rally GB program. I don't even think we need to do it in any other business. I guess all I need to do is ask you boys what you're up to on the rally this weekend. So we'll go with you first, Jack Benyon.
I'm planning to head out to Shakedown tomorrow morning, practice what you preach and all. I've spoken about how that's a good opportunity to go and see some of this year's cars in action. So I think I'm going to head up there and get that in. I think Dovenant I'll be visiting, and then I think I'll take it from there, really. There's so many good stages. We've talked through quite a lot of them. I don't think we need to go through the whole stage guide again, but you know, it'll be a bit of a toss-up for me in terms of where the cars are back in service, making sure I've got time to speak to the drivers before I go spectating anywhere. So for me, it's a little bit of a balancing act, and I'm sure Ryan will be similar with what he's doing with the TV and stuff as well. So a bit of a balancing act, but I'll get out as much as I can, and for me, Shakedown and getting 12 into corner are going to be sort of two highlights of the weekend for me, I think.
You've just done the big reveal on Ryan's news.
It's a pre-reveal.
I don't know about big reveal. I mean, it's busy few days for me. So definitely, as you said, heading to Rally 4 tonight, where we've got Malcolm Wilson, Chris Meek, Craig Breen amongst others, and hosting that with Howard Davis, which is always interesting.
I was just about to say, can I just point something out? You're not hosting, you're just merely a passenger.
Yeah, I'm fully aware of that. It's quite nice. I'll just sit there and listen to what Howard says and what a few guests say, and on occasion I might get the odd question. But good to do that. And I'm moving on to commentary duties. I'm commentating from the start of tomorrow night and the first stage. A bit more commentary over the weekend, and then moving on to Channel 5 on Sunday for the live coverage. So great that we've got live coverage on terrestrial TV. So busy weekend. But I would just like to add a little menu of the business, and it's just food for thought, this one.
Go on.
What is your favourite car driver combination from Wills Rally GB Network Q RSE. From this rally in the past, what's your favourite car and driver combination?
Favourite driver, I would say...
It's got to be car and driver. It's not just car and driver.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I would probably go the most... For me, it was the Quattro going through Knowsley Safari Park, and I guess it would have been Stig, wouldn't it?
You're not talking about the year that Arnie Hertz sat on the boot lid.
Ah, Arnie Hertz. Yeah.
So alongside Hannu Mikkola.
Yeah, Hannu. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah, that's where I'm going.
Quattro.
Sorry. Quattro. Yeah. Sorry, yeah, we're getting bogged down. But yeah, Quattro, yeah. So Jack Bennion.
We all know the obvious ones, don't we? So if I was going to go for something a bit left field, I'd go with Pentti Rikola and Mitsubishi Galant.
Four wheel drive, four wheel steer.
Big fan of Pentti.
That's a good call.
Yeah,
absolutely. And Pentti was a big influence. Jari Mäkilä's early career. Like you said, I mean, the obvious one is Collins' world championship within the Subaru. But I mean, I'm going to go back to when I was quite young. This is, you know, probably when we were Jack Bennion's age, that sort of thing.
Wow.
Much younger. My very first memories of the RSC rally. Was a young Henry Tovey winning the rally in a Talbot's and Moon Waters, and I watched that on videos for years, and that's probably my favourite part of the combination, closely followed by Tony Pond in a 6R4.
There you go, folks. By all means, let us know yours. You know, tweet us. Send us a message on Facebook. Send us an email. Go on the website. Go whatever you want to do. That is the end of our little micro preview program. Obviously, the boys are out doing things. I'm kind of grounded at the moment. The boy's not quite ready to go into the service park, although I might try and sneak him in tomorrow so we can at least go and have a look at a few things. But Ryan Champion, have a great Wales Rally GB.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
I'm very envious of both of you, but enjoying getting to know my little boy. But Jack Bennion, have a great Wales Rally GB.
Thank you very much. There's no need to be envious of me. I mean, you can be envious of the spectating part, but the work part is actually quite hard, whereas Ryan just has to sit there and talk into a microphone. So.
Oh, I tell you what, Ryan, there's a couple of loaded points recently from Jack Bennion with regards
jealous,
to your
activities.
Jealous. I know, it's
jealous. It
doesn't eat. He doesn't even have to sit there and talk, does he? Just sit there in silence.
Anyway, folks, that is the end of our micro Rally GB preview. If you are listening to us while you're out on the stage, just take some pictures and share them with us. That would be great. If you see the boys, insist on selfies, but just don't have them in the selfie just to actually just freak them out, and send them to us as well, because that'll amuse me no end. This has been Absolute Rally. It has been episode 3. It is season 10. You know where we live. It's Absolute_Rally on Twitter, facebook.com/Absolute Rally. And you can find us on our website, of course, which is absoluterally.co.uk. And you can drop us a message via there as well. Thanks for the download, folks. Back same time, same place in Little Podcast Hole next week.